This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 38 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we're presented by TalkLoudRadio.com. You can find us at all your major podcast networks. We are streaming live on Facebook every Tuesday and Friday night. And, of course, you can find us streaming in the Going for Two app. I'm here tonight with my co-host, as usual, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. How are you doing tonight, man?
Dude, fantastic. Ravens went out and put a beat down for the opener this year.
Yeah,
that was... their offense isn't a laughing stock at the moment, so I'm gonna soak it in. So I'm great.
Good stuff. Yeah, your Ravens definitely look good. Unfortunately, my 49ers didn't look quite as well against the Vikings there, so I'm not quite as happy as you are. How was your fantasy teams this week? I mean, I know your Ravens did good, but how was your fantasy team?
Majority of them were good. I had two ones that I was in the top three of scoring for and lost. So there was that. I told her pretty hard on that one. But yeah, other than everything went pretty good.
Yeah, my fantasy day was not so great. I actually, I think I won 3 out of my 10 leagues. I actually thought I was going to win only 2 out of 10, but Amari Cooper shit the bed last night, and so I ended up winning that one because I thought he'd get at least 4 points, but he didn't even get that. So I ended up winning that matchup. But yeah, then my main dynasty league that, you know, I care about the most, I lost on the Aaron Rodgers pass to Randall Cobb, basically took me from being up 14 to being down 1. So that was definitely not good either. So I'm hoping to rebound this week and, get some more victory. I did win in the Scott Fish Bowl though, so I'm happy about that.
Me too. Yeah. My home dynasty league, what I care the most about, I had a 70 point win, so I was feeling real good.
Oh, nice. Can't beat that. All right, man. Well, we got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and just jump right into it here. We got a couple of the big stories coming out of week one here. The biggest one probably being James Conner, who actually leads the league right now in rushing. What do you think of James Conner? You think he's legit?
I mean, while he's in there, he's going to be somebody you're starting week in and week out. I don't think he's going to be this 130, 150-yard guy, total yards guy every single week. We saw them in bad weather conditions where tackling wasn't great against the Browns, who the story's still out if they're actually good or not, if they've improved. So he's worth starting. He has to be rostered. I don't think there's any situation where he's not, but the jury's still out for me.
So have you looked at your rankings yet for the week? Any idea where you're going to put Conner? Is he in the top 12, you think?
I think he'll be sitting just outside of it off the top of my head.
I think they go to New Orleans this week, so we'll talk about the game a little bit later. But yeah, I haven't done my rankings yet. I'll probably look at them tomorrow. But I think I'm probably going to have him in the same area. Maybe he cracks the top 12. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the matchups too in depth yet. But yeah, I think that Conner definitely needs to be owned. He needs to be started. I can't imagine a scenario unless you're in a dynasty where you happen to have like Dalvin Cook and Todd Gurley and a bunch of other top running backs where you're not starting James Conner. And that's, you know, unfortunately I kind of passed on him in my league that I had Le'Veon Bell. I kind of thought Bell was going to come back. He didn't come back and I got screwed out of that one. So
yeah, I mean, listen, he has one of the clear paths to starting.
Yep.
With Bell out.
Definitely. All right, let's talk a little bit about some Andrew Luck here. His Colts ended up losing the game, but he threw 53 times. What do you think of Andrew Luck? You think he's back to a top-tier quarterback, or you think that it was just a game where he just had to throw a ton?
I fully believe Andrew Luck's back to what he was, and him throwing a ton because they're not good is going to keep happening probably the entire year. It's not a talented defense. There's not much talent around him outside of T.Y. Hilton. So they're going to be playing from behind. He's going to throw the ball an absolute shit ton. I love Andrew Luck in fantasy. I think he's great. It's a shame what they're doing to him there.
Yeah, it's terrible. It is terrible. I mean, then they try to get running backs, and you know, that didn't really work out. Marlon Mack, of course, is hurt. Maybe he comes back. Maybe he's good. But that offensive line isn't very good. I think Neiman Hines may have actually led them in fantasy points this week, and he only had like 5 touches, so that's just not good.
Yeah, Wilkins let me down a little bit. I played him a lot in DFS.
Yeah, I was on him at first, and then when I heard that Marlon Mack might play, I took him out of my lineups, and then when Mack was ruled out, I didn't have time to put him back in, thankfully, so I was kind of glad about that.
How about on the flip side with Deshaun Watson's first outing?
Oh, man. How are you feeling there? He, it didn't look good at all. I mean, you figure he fumbled the very first snap of the game. Not a good way to start. And he looked terrible. The whole game he looked terrible. I was watching most of it because I did have Deshaun Watson in a lot of my daily fantasy lineups. And I don't know. If I'm an owner of Deshaun Watson, you know, I've spent that high-ish pick on a quarterback. I think I'm a little bit worried right now. And I'm hoping he can bounce back. But it wasn't pretty at all.
Yeah. Kind of use that to segue to the game we're going to talk about next. What's kind of a big deal is that's not overreacting. I'm not too worried about Deshaun Watson because we saw what he could do. Obviously, we're not expecting what he did last year, but it's week one. This week, the 3 top scoring offenses were the Jets, the Bucs, and the Ravens. Everything's crazy week one. Nothing happens.
Nothing makes sense. Said,
that Bucs Saints game was absolutely insane, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was a top scoring fantasy quarterback.
Yeah. Who saw that one coming, right?
No. Have you looked at the top 10 scorers from this week? They include Fitzpatrick, Tyrod, and Flacco.
Yeah, you would have never guessed that. Yeah, definitely. That Saints Bucks games was crazy. And it hurt my heart too, because I actually have the Saints defense in my dynasty league. And they went out and got me, I think, -4 points. So I kind of not started the defense at all and ended up being better off than starting the Saints defense this past week. Pretty terrible. But, yeah, I think that you're right. Week one is week one. A lot of the crazy things happen on week one. Sometimes they don't carry over. Sometimes they do. Hopefully the Saints can get it back together. I think they got the Browns this weekend at home, so they can probably do some good things there. Speaking of some top running backs here, Fournette, he's going to be out probably a couple of weeks, they're saying. I haven't heard an official report yet, but that's just kind of what the speculation is. What do you think of this? You think Yeldon is a must-own if you're a Fournette owner?
Yeah, I think Yeldon's one of the top waiver pickups this week because he has individual value without Fournette there because of his receiving ability. But if Fournette's out, he's a borderline RB2. Maybe mid RB two, so you have to play him, especially since they're a run heavy offense. Fournette thing, man, this might be a common occurrence. Missing 1 or 2 games every year because of this, though, it's kind of worrying me.
Yep, and I think it's been even going back to his college days. I think it's been an issue with that. So, who knows?
It really has.
Yeah, I mean, I was really high on him coming in, and I actually had him in a couple of my DFS lineups. So seeing him get hurt pretty early in that game kind of hurt.
Yep, me too. Real bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of hurt, we had a few big injuries this week with Greg Olsen, Delanie Walker, one of the big ones. They're both on the IR.
Yeah, I just got a note saying that Olsen is trying to come back this season. They're not going to put him on the season-ending IR. But even if he comes back, I don't know what he's going to be. He did that same thing last year, and he wasn't very good then either. But yeah, I think this is tough. You drafted these guys, you know, as a top 10 tight end, both of them, and they both go out week one. It's pretty tough. I think tight ends is going to be a very popular waiver wire pickup this week. You know, there's going to be a lot of tight ends being picked up. Jared Cook might be out there in a few leagues. You know, a couple other guys like Ian Thomas to back up to Olsen and Juno Smith, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. But yeah, I think that tight end is going to be a popular pick because of these two guys going out in week one.
Oh, yeah. And like you mentioned with Jared Cook, he's owned in, I just did the article, he's only owned in 38% of leagues, so he's out there.
Yeah, that's definitely going to change after the week, the day he had yesterday, for sure.
Oh, yeah, he'll be close to 100% after that.
Another big injury we got is Doug Baldwin out in Seattle. Who benefits from Doug Baldwin being out for a few weeks? I mean, they don't got a whole lot of receivers out there.
Maybe I'd say Tyler Lockett, because he's the most talented guy they have. But him and Brandon Marshall, but It's a bad team.
It is.
I feel bad for Russ.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have some Tyler Lockett shares. I feel a little bit better about him. He just needs to stay on the field too.
Yep,
agreed. But I think he's their best talent they have.
Yeah, I think they just recently, because I played this guy in preseason Daily Fantasy. I want to say his name is Marcus Johnson. They just traded him, I think, to the Colts. They actually traded for him last year from Philadelphia, and then they ended up trading him away, which I bet they probably wish they had him right now because they could definitely use him. I think he's one of those speedy, fast guys that, you know, they might need in this offense.
Yeah, they need to do something there.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to fade a lot of them in fantasy if I can.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think about the possibility of Dez Bryant going there?
Him and Brandon Marshall are basically the same old, washed-out player.
Yep.
But, I mean, he'd have value. They got to throw to somebody.
Definitely. All right. So, my daily fantasy lineups, I'm going into the late games here, and I'm up like $200. And then Tyreek Hill goes bonkers. You think this is like a fluke thing here, or are we just going to see Tyreek Hill with these kind of big plays week in and week out? It seems like it's unsustainable, but, man, it's tough to say that when he's been doing it now for 17 games.
Yeah, I feel like we're starting to have to become a believer. None of it makes sense because if you stop trust the process, he should be slowly getting his yards, not just 50-yard touchdown after 50-yard touchdown. But, man, you can't not play him.
Yeah.
He's a machine out there.
Yeah, I think I was of the mind, you know, this offseason of that, you know, I still thought he was the receiver one. But I was kind of he's going to regress a little bit. Those long touchdowns aren't going to always happen. And he goes out and does what he does. I mean, I think he had 30 fantasy points in the first quarter, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, he just lit everything up.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson made a little bit of a run here. I think he had 28 carries, 160-plus total yards. What do you think of Peterson and his resurgence with the Washington Redskins?
Dude, I'm going to ride Adrian Peterson for about 4 weeks if I have him on my team and then flip him before he gets beat up.
Yeah, I agree.
Older player, yep. Why not?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, so with an older player like that, they're going to be awesome September into October, but chances are he'll wear down. It'll be the perfect time to flip him come playoff time. Maybe like Love Bell if he ever comes back.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think if you could sell high on Peterson, you know, ride him early because they're going to ride him. And then, yeah, I think you could sell Peterson high and get, you know, hopefully you've got some other backs besides Peterson. I'm sure he was a waiver wire pickup for you before the season started. So you've got some depth at running back. You can definitely flip him for a receiver. Or maybe if you own Delanie Walker or Greg Olsen, you need a tight end, so you can trade him for a tight end.
Yeah. We had a little bit of a downturn from Christian McCaffrey this week. Do you think it's because of all the talent there? Do you think they're regressing as a team, or do you think he'll go back to normal?
I think he's going to go back. I mean, he had a bad game, and he still had, at least in my league, he had 13 fantasy points, and that's considered a bad game. He averaged 5 yards a carry still. I think what hurt him is that fumble at the goal line. The next time they got down there, they didn't want to trust him to give it to him. I think they gave it to the other running back down there. I think Cam Newton ended up running one in. So I think that fumble kind of hurt him a little bit. Had he gotten that fumble, you know, if he had not fumbled that, at least, you know, even if he hadn't just gotten the touchdown, if he had just not fumbled, I think he would have been even better off. But I think the volume and the usage is still there. I think he had 6 receptions. I think he led the team in both rushing yards and reception yards. So I think he'll still be fine. I think it was just a early game sort of jitters that sort of got that in his head.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be right around that back end, RB1, front end RB2 range. He's going to get volume there.
Definitely. All right, Aaron Rodgers, man. I don't know if you sit up to watch that game. My wife's a Packers fan, and about halftime, she's about falling asleep, and she's hating life, and Rodgers is out. And he comes back in, of course, does what he does, brings him back, wins the game by 1 point. But he didn't look too healthy. You think there's any chance that he misses a couple games?
Nah, dude, it's Aaron Rodgers. He'll be fine. He'll go out there. He'll be the best out of the business. And I think he'll play through anything that's not serious. We've seen it a bunch of times. They probably had to force him out last year to try to get him healthy for this year. I'm not too worried about him.
All right, fair enough.
Then the last one I wanted to hit was probably one of the most excited was watching Sam Darnold in his pro debut on Monday night. Thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was insane because I actually had cut away from the game for a little bit, and I came back in the third quarter, and it's a blowout. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And here I am watching this blowout, and it seems like they're just running the clock out. And I realized it was only the third quarter. I'm like, holy crap, it's the end of the third quarter, and they're, you know, up whatever they were, 40 to whatever at that point. And, I mean, that was just a ridiculous night for a rookie quarterback, especially the way after it started with the interception.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the score, I expected with the Lions blowing them out, because I thought they were one of the worst teams in the league, but it looks like Sam Darnold's not going to let that happen.
Yeah, it was definitely impressive, and I was actually impressed too, and I added him in a bunch of leagues, and anybody that would ask me about sleepers, I was all over Quincy Enunwa. I knew if Darnold got the start that he would be heavily involved in the offense because I watched him in camp a lot, and he was Darnold's favorite target in camp, and I knew it would carry over to the games, and it did just that. I think he had 10 targets, 6 receptions, and a touchdown. So if Enunwa's out there, I think he's another popular waiver wire ad as well.
Yeah, he's probably one of my top guys I'm searching for this week.
Definitely.
And if you check out goingfor2.com, you can see my article with the rest of the waiver wire ads, which I'm sure we're going to hit on a couple of them, but figured to do a little self-promoting there.
Yeah, definitely. Goingfor2.com, we released it today, his waiver wire pickups for the week. We've mentioned a few of them already. Let's go ahead and just mention a couple more here. I'll kind of give you the floor and talk about some of your pickups for the week.
Kind of ones we hit already were T.J. Yeldon, Jared Cook, Jonnu Smith, who I think is going to be huge in Tennessee. Delanie Walker just was a target monster for the past few years. He had, and the Titans tight ends had 10 targets this week in a terrible game. So Jonnu Smith should step right into that. And he's a freak athlete and way more athletic than Delanie was. He's a 92nd percentile spark athlete. So he should kill it for them.
Nice.
Other guys I'm grabbing are Austin Eckler. I think they finally found out a way to use him. He's available in like almost 90% of the leagues. Phillip Lindsay was a weird one.
Came out of nowhere.
No, I thought it was going to be Devontae Booker with that second split in the carries for them. And Lindsay had the exact same amount of carries and exact same amount of yards as Royce Freeman at 15-71. And he had 31 more yards receiving plus a touchdown. So he's some sort of an option. I'm not spending my whole fab budget on him, but I'd definitely throw something out there for him.
Definitely. What about Philip Dorsett? He kind of had a big game there in New England. What do you think of Philip Dorsett?
I actually played him in DFS this week.
Nice call.
He's across from Chris Hogan. He was listed on the depth chart as number 2. He's filling in the Brandon Cooks role from last year. He's not Brandon Cooks, but he's extremely fast and he can stretch the field. I mean, he had 7 targets, 66 yards, but he breaks one of those at that speed. It's a huge game.
Yep. Good stuff. Anybody else you want to mention for any deeper leagues that you're looking at?
The other ones I had, I said we mentioned a new one. I have Ryan Grant up there, Geronimo Allison. They both have roles in their offense. I mean, number 3 receiver for the Packers is better than most teams' number 2s. And Ryan Grant had 9 targets for Indy. So if you follow targets, you're going to fantasy points.
Definitely. What about Brandon Marshall? Any interest in Brandon Marshall? He had a touchdown, I believe, in his game.
Brandon Marshall, I guess he has to be owned because, like I said, Baldwin's out.
They got to throw it to somebody.
Him and Tyler Lockett. It's real ugly, but Russell Wilson somehow balls every week.
Yep. What do you think of that tight end there in Seattle that led them in the receiving yards? You think he's worth picking up? He was more of a blocking tight end. He came out of nowhere.
I mean, I had his name typed up for the article, and I'm like, I was going to put just a disclaimer. Just watch him. Don't blow fab budget on him yet. It could have been a fluke. It was 3 catches for, 100 and some yards?
Yeah, he broke some, I think, 66-yard run. I agree. I think it was a fluke. I don't think he needs to be high in your waiver wire. I kind of like you mentioned, Juno Smith. I like Ian Thomas, the backup for Greg Olsen. I think that he'll be pretty decent. I want both of those guys over, what's his name, Drizzly?
Yeah.
Sounds like a rap name.
Never heard of that guy before.
it's a rap name.
Yeah. I mean, you can't trust a guy. Will Disley.
There you go.
You can't trust a guy who's not getting volume, even though they produce. Oh, and Eric Ebron's still on waiver wires, and everyone knows I love Eric Ebron. So yeah. grab him if he's out there.
The only thing I'm a little worried about with Ebron, and I looked at the snaps for both those tight ends there, Doyle, I think, had like 50 snaps, and Ebron only had like 20 snaps. Granted, Ebron got the touchdown, so his stats look good in fantasy. But I'd be a little bit nervous with Ebron there because he's not much of a blocking tight end. If they need to run the ball or whatever, he's not going to be on the field most of the time. What do you think of that?
I mean, no, he's not going to be on the running downs. He's just basically a big, big flex receiver. He's not going to be blocking. They're having him in the red zone because all the receivers are under 6 foot and somebody has to catch the ball down there.
Good point. Good point. So, yeah, he could be a touchdown machine this year. It could be kind of what Jimmy Graham was last year for the Seahawks, where from 20 to 20s, you know, he didn't really do a whole lot. They got down in the red zone. It was Jimmy Graham time pretty much.
Which be completely okay with.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will go game by game previews and we'll talk a little bit about week two. Cool.
Three shows, one podcast. The Talk Loud Radio podcast combines sports, nerds, and pop culture with the Pay Me No Mind show. Just down-to-earth sports and entertainment. The Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast Show. The latest movies and video games with a dash of comedy. And the Armchair Fantasy Show. 8. Sleep Fantasy Sports. Find Talk Loud Radio on all the major podcast services like iTunes and Stitcher at talkloudradio.com and streaming on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Talk Loud Radio, where sports, nerds, and pop culture collide.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
As we enter, come the better get one of the biggest adventure.
Must be dementia that you ever thought you could touch our credentials. What's the initials?
You be jam rock the lyrical official.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Ryan, of course. And we're talking week two now. Let's go ahead and just jump right into it. We got a ton of games to get to. We'll start with your boys playing on Thursday night. They looked amazing in week one. Granted, they were playing the Bills, but they still looked really good. Took care of business. Going up against the Bengals, of course, it's a division game. The Bengals came out and handled their business in Indy, took care of that team. What do you see going on in this game, and what are the fantasy relevance of this game?
I think it's going to be a rough game. I think there's going to be a lot of heavy hitting, not a ton of offense, but there's definitely some fantasy values to have. I think Baltimore side, kind of, I wish I'd have put it on my waivers article now, brought him up earlier, is Willie Snead. I think with basically the Bengals having Burfict suspended, their one safety just got injured, they got rid of Ioka in the free agency, and their other middle linebacker's injured. They're beat up in the middle, and the slot receiver is going to have a field day. He led the Ravens in targets was 6 last week. I think he can have a factor against them. I'd watch who's starting at tight end for Baltimore. If it ends up being like Hayden Hurst, he could be a must play because they love going to tight ends. Bengals side, AJ Green is AJ Green.
They might start him.
Yeah, normally they do fairly well against AJ Green, slow him down a little bit. So I wouldn't like play him in DFS, but if he's on your redraft team, I'd play him all day still.
Most definitely. You didn't talk about your boy. I thought you'd be mentioning your boy Mixon. You throwing it in my face that he had a big game in week one.
I wasn't even going to bring it up. I thought Joe Mixon looked freaking incredible. I don't think he's going to really do well against Baltimore's defense. Defensive line is enormous. It's like 3 guys, 900 pounds. Like, they're absolute monsters. And they're incredibly good at stopping the run. I think he'll play a part in the passing game with dump offs and stuff, but I don't think he'll have a week like he did last week.
I agree. I think they will slow him down in the running game. I think passing game, he will be involved. John Ross, you know, of course, caught a touchdown last week too. I think that he can also be involved a little bit. Even Tyler Boyd showed up a little bit. I think he had some maybe five receptions in this game or four receptions in this game. So the passing game is definitely there. The concern I always have, of course, is with Andy Dalton. This game is in Cincinnati, so I like it a little bit more. But Dalton seems to show up one game and look good and then show up the next game and look terrible. But he is a better quarterback at home. So if you have Dalton, then you have to start Dalton. We'll pray for you, first of all. But I think he could be okay in this one. But Ravens' defense is pretty nasty.
Yeah, good call for Asa. Like, number two receivers against Baltimore might do a little bit better, whoever Brandon Carr is covering, because he tends to get roasted by those speed guys like that. Yep. And I doubt they're dumb enough to put AJ Green on, or put him on AJ Green. Yes, I hope not.
Definitely. All right. Next one we got is the Panthers at the Falcons. The Panthers got the win, but it was ugly. I think it was like 16-7 against the Dallas Cowboys. Falcons, of course, lost on Thursday night to the Eagles. What do you see in this game?
Oh, God. I think there's going to be a ton of fantasy value. I don't think either defense is really going to show up that well. Falcons just lost two key members of their defense, so chances are it's going to be a high-scoring game, and they're going to throw a lot. And they gave Julio 19 targets last week. Like, he's unbelievable, and they're just feeding him because they don't have much else.
And he's the Panthers killer. I know I have a friend that's a big Panthers fan, and he hates when Julio Jones is playing against his team. I think the year they went 15-1, the Falcons didn't make the playoffs that year, but the one loss that the Panthers had was to the Falcons, and Julio Jones went bonkers in that game. So Julio Jones, I think, is primed for a huge game. I think Christian McCaffrey, with the injuries that the Falcons have, I think he has a bounce-back game as well. Cam Newton is Cam Newton. You know, he's got the highest floor for quarterback, I think, in the NFL, because he does just run the ball. They actually call plays for him to run the ball. So I think that Cam Newton will be fine. I'm a little worried about the pass catchers, though, with the Panthers. They didn't really look so good. He's not getting the ball to them. There's a little bit of chemistry that's not working out so well. What do you think of some of the pass catchers there?
God, it's bad. I was looking at the targets because I was going to bring up the rest of the guys in Atlanta who I thought was pretty bad to go with against Julio. Targets spread in Carolina, 0 for DJ Moore, 5 for Funchess, who had the most his way, 2 for Torrey Smith, 5 for Jarius Wright. I mean, that's ugly.
That is ugly.
I mean, Christian McCaffrey's the only guy who I'd really trust. Maybe Funchess for hope of a touchdown, but it's crazy. You can start Cam Newton and get so many points out of him, but the receivers are bullshit.
Yeah, it's exactly. I made a trade for him in Dynasty because, I mean,
like, it's crazy.
If you asked anybody last year, ask any fan, you know, how did Cam Newton do last year? And it was like, you know, he had a bad season. He was off last year. He just wasn't good. He was the number two quarterback in fantasy last year to Russell Wilson. So it's ridiculous to think that he can be bad and still be good in fantasy.
It's those runners, man. They
definitely
do it up for you.
All right, next one we got here is the Texans with Deshaun Watson, his disappointing opener, going up against the Titans, who might be without Mariota. What do you see happening in this game?
I think it's a bounce-back game for the Texans. I don't think the Titans are very good, and I think we'll see what we wanted to see out of Watson. Have you seen the Fuller's playing this week?
I haven't seen yet. They haven't announced if he's playing or not. I think he's still questionable at the moment.
I think he's a bigger deal to that offense than we realized.
I agree.
Because he protects DeAndre Hopkins at least a little bit.
Yep.
Because that's a little scary without him there, because who else do they really have?
Pretty much nobody. I think Kiki Coti, or whatever his name is, was inactive. Bruce Ellington, I think, was the leading receiver besides DeAndre Hopkins there. And he played for us for a while, the 49ers, and he wasn't very good there. So I doubt he can be very good in Houston.
Yeah, that's gross. They need to get Fuller back on offense to really shine. And I think Lamar Miller will just keep being Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I actually added Lamar Miller in a lot of my leagues. I just think that with that passing game being as good as it could be, I think Lamar Miller benefits from that. I think he's, you know, kind of struggled in the past because they hadn't had a passing game. But now the defense has got to struggle, or it's got to, you know, respect that. I think that Lamar Miller is actually going to be a decent play each week.
How about the Titans running backs?
Oh, man, that was hard to watch for me because I'm a Derrick Henry owner. I actually traded for him 2 seasons ago with the expectations that he'd be the lead back eventually. They kind of phased out Derrick Henry. I don't know if it has something to do with the fact that the game was like 8 hours long, but he really didn't get a whole lot of touches. They really used Deion Lewis a lot more than I thought they were going to use him. But I think it's going to end up being sort of a hot hand situation where if Henry may get the start, if he's looking good, he may continue to look good. But if he's struggling, they're going to put Deion Lewis in there.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of either one of them right now. Actually, kind of that whole offense, other than Jonnu Smith and hopefully Corey Davis.
Yeah, Corey Davis, I wanted to bring him up too. I think he had like 13 targets, so he led the team obviously in targets. I think there's better days ahead for him. I think if you get 13 targets, I don't care who you are, eventually you're going to have fantasy value. I think Corey Davis will be legit. Maybe not in this game because the Texans are a pretty good defense, but I think that for the season, I think Corey Davis will be fine as long as Mariota's healthy, which is definitely something to monitor this week because I think the backup is Blaine Gabbert, and you don't want anything to do with Blaine Gabbert.
No, I do. I said I love Corey Davis. His skill set's fantastic.
All right, the next one we got here, the defending Super Bowl champions, Eagles, going at the very surprising Fitzmagic Bucks. What you got for this game?
I think it's going to kind of go back a little bit, brought back to earth for the Bucks. Eagles are still really good. They have a ridiculous pass rush, so Fitzpatrick's not going to be able to just sit back and pick apart a defense like he did the Saints, and which kind of looked like they were a fluke from last year just after week one. But they have the weapons there. Deshaun Jackson's in the concussion protocol, so we can't trust him.
Yep.
Love Chris Godwin. He's in the waivers article. We didn't bring him up earlier, but he's been fantasy relevant any time he's gotten 65-plus snaps, scored touchdowns, gotten over 60 yards. I think if he has that chance to be a starter and that number two receiver on the outside, I think he's big time for them. And Mike Evans is back.
Mike Evans is back, definitely. I had Mike Evans as well in my dynasty, and he had an off year.
Me too.
Let me ask you this. If you own – because this actually happened in one of my leagues. I own Mike Evans, and on my bench I had Godwin. Are you starting both?
Not if I don't have to.
Fair enough.
If I have to, I won't want to, but I'll probably trade Godwin if I had both because his hype's getting up there.
Yeah, I traded him in my Dynasty League before the season started, and I ended up getting a first-round pick out of him. So hopefully Nick Chubb is who I drafted with that pick, so hopefully he pans out in the long term.
I got faith in Chubb. He'll be all right.
all right, let's go to the next game here. We got the Chiefs and we got phenoms here on both sides. So we had Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs side, and we have Connor, who kind of took the league by storm for the Steelers. What do you see happening in this game?
How are you going to say phenom and not bring up Patrick Mahomes? Just throw bombs out there. I think it's going to be one of those fun games. I'll have that on my second screen for when I'm watching Red Zone on Sunday. But there's going to be a lot of scoring. They're going to be airing it out. Mahomes is going to be in his first like real shootout game with Pittsburgh. I'm buying all the offense. I still think Sammy Watkins is going to have a role. I just don't know where yet.
Fair enough.
But we'll see if James Conner is going to be running the ball as much in the game. There's going to be a lot more scoring involved.
Yeah, I think that passing offense rebounds. I think Big Ben's struggles on the road is sort of well known. I think I did a query on StatRoute sort of see what Ben was doing over his last 5 years. Over the last 5 years on the road and outdoor stadiums, he's QB24, which is just terrible. So he's not very good on the road. At home, he's a different quarterback. He's a totally different quarterback. I think AB has a bounce-back game. I think Big Ben has a bounce-back game. I think Connor is still playable. I think you still got to put him in your lineup. I don't think he's going to get what he got, 135 yards total, I think, or even more than that, I think, because he was in the passing game as well. I don't think Connor's going to be what he was in week one, but I think he's still playable. I think this offense is – I think you're right. This will be a shootout for sure.
Yeah. Two things. Do you think he'll actually be catching passes for them?
You mean
Connor? In the shootout? Yeah. Do you think they'll try to work Samuel in?
I hope they do because I actually have him in one of my leagues. But, I mean, he didn't even get anything in week one at all. So I'm a little nervous about that. I figured he'd seen something. But I don't think he even got on the field in week one. So I'm a little bit nervous. Connor, you know, I know his knock on him is that he can't catch passes, but the knock on
Samuel.
Now I'm trying to think if there's another running back that Jordan Howard. We haven't talked about him yet, but he caught a bunch of passes, and you know, he's knocked as a non-catching running back as well. So if he can do it, I think Connor can probably do it as well. I guess we'll have to see what happens.
And second thing, how ridiculous is it that you said Antonio Brown's going to have a bounce back game? He was still 10th in fantasy scoring. Yeah. Like, we expect that much out of him. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah,
it is crazy. I think
I hate them so much, but he's so damn good.
He is really good. I think one year, I think he ended up as wide receiver 2, and they're like, oh, Antonio Brown's going to have a bounce back season next year. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? He was wide receiver 2. Come on. All right, let's go to the Dolphins and Jets game, which before the season started, you probably would have thought, man, this game is going to be an ugly game. No one's going to want to watch it. But with the Darnold sensation that he was on Monday night, this game has a little bit more interest. Of course, the Dolphins got a win in their first game. It took literally 8 hours or however long it was, longest game in NFL history. What do you see happening in this game?
I think the Jets are going to throttle them. I do want to talk about Kenny Stills for the Dolphins. He blew it up. He had 34 fantasy points off 4 catches. He's a big play threat. He's the best offensive weapon they have. So I don't think he should be on anybody's waiver wires, but if he is, I think he's still available on like 40%. He needs to be got immediately. I regretted not starting my one league. It cost me a win. But the Dolphins are just not good, and the Jets looks like they have weapons. Crowell played good, who no one's brought up. He was a 100-yard rusher this week.
Yep, had that long run at the end.
Robbie Anderson flashes talent, and Nanu flashes talent, and Sam Darnold, I don't think I'm starting him in fantasy, but I'm going to have him rostered to keep an eye on without the chance.
There is one more guy I want to talk about with the Dolphins, because Kenny Stills, like you mentioned, had those 4 catches for 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I think you pronounce it Jakeem Grant. He actually led the team in targets. He had 5 targets. He only had 38 yards. He also had a lot of return yards. I think he actually returned one for a touchdown. In deeper leagues, I kind of like him. I'm actually trying to get him in one of my deep leagues. I think he's viable. He had more targets than Wilson and Amendola when everyone's kind of on those two guys. So Jakeem Grant would be someone that I'd look at in some deep leagues as well.
I have him in our league.
Oh, you do? You already own him?
In the league, I'm on with you, yeah.
Bastard.
Kenny and Drake got used at least, but didn't Frank Gore have just as many carries?
I think Drake had 14, Gore has 9, and Gore had more yards, too. He had 61 to 48. Drake did, however, get 18, 3 receptions and 18 yards in the passing game, though.
Yeah, I think Drake's what we think he is, just that low-end RB2 guy.
Agreed. I think he'll have those weeks where he pops that big one and he ends up being a top 10 running back, but I think slot him in as a running back too for the season.
Yeah, right around there.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the next game we got on here are the Chargers and Bills. how many fantasy points do you think the Chargers are going to be getting here?
Oh, my God. I mean, if the Ravens just put up, 48 points on them or whatever it was, I mean, the Chargers offense, at least on paper, is better than the Ravens offense. Keenan Allen's going to be a beast. I think Rivers is going to be a beast. Melvin Gordon is going to be a beast. I think this is going to be a blowout. I think this is going to be a game where the Bills just, in the first, second quarter, they're already out of the game. I will say on the Bills side of things, LeSean McCoy, I think, will be more involved than he was this past week. I think there's going to be a lot more dump downs. I do think that the rookie quarterback there is going to get the start. I don't think they go back to Peterman again. I think 2 years in a row now they've benched him in the first game of the season. That can't be a good thing. So I think he gets the start. There'll be a lot more dump offs, maybe some easier screenplays for LeSean McCoy to get more involved in this. Other than that, I don't think I want any Bills. And I don't even want LeSean McCoy if I don't have to, if I can afford to not play him.
Yeah, I have shares in my whole league, but his defense keyed on him. They like basically just guarded him and nobody else, which probably every team should do this year. So, yeah, he should be okay against the Chargers. I mean, you can't bench him.
Right.
Like, I can't see a scenario where he wouldn't be a starter for me, but I wouldn't be excited about it. And then Chargers, I think Keenan Allen's due for a bounce back. after dropping some balls, and Chargers should get their act together this week and see that high-powered offense Super Bowl contender people are looking for. And Tyrell Williams is another one who looked pretty decent for them, though, too.
Yep.
Like, he was targeted a lot.
Yep. And Keenan Allen actually had a pretty good game, but he did have some key drops that could have made his game, his day even better. But, yeah, I think Keenan Allen, he's a target monster. He's going to be Rivers' go-to guy in pretty much every situation. So Keenan Allen's definitely someone you're going to plug your lineup each week and not even think about it.
Yeah, Austin Eckler, too, this week. I mean, if they're blowing them out, he might get even more carries.
Yep, that's a good point. What we got next on the lineup?
Next one we got is probably one of the better games of the day, is the Vikings-Packers.
Yeah, this looks like a good game. I'm a little worried about Rodgers' mobility in this one because this defense is nasty. So if I'm a Rodgers owner, I'm very nervous this week going into this game that he's not going to be able to do what he normally does, and that's run around and make plays, and that could affect his fantasy value. I think he's still going to be one of the top quarterbacks this week as long as he can stay on the field. The receivers, of course, with the Packers, they're all viable. Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb showed that he's still Randall Cobb as long as he can stay healthy. Geronimo Allison, you know, he had a touchdown last week. I think he's definitely playable in some leagues. Running back situation is a little bit murky. I still don't want anything to do with it. I do think that if I'm going to start one or the other, either Ty Williams or Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery or Jamal Williams, I think I want Ty because I think there's going to be someone involved in the passing game. I don't think Jamal Williams is going to be able to get anything going in the run game. I think he's going to be pretty much bottled up. On the Vikings side of things, I think that game script kind of limited Dalvin Cook last week a little bit. I think that this week with this powered offense of the Packers, I think Dalvin Cook's going to be more involved. He's going to get the ball a lot more. I think Diggs and Thielen are going to be Diggs and Thielen, and I think Kirk Cousins could be a top five quarterback this week.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I agree with everything on the Vikings side. I think they're all going to perform pretty well on Python Bay. Outside of Adams for Green Bay this week, I don't have too much faith, and I'm still even a little murky on him with him probably getting Xavier Rhodes on him. Vikings defense is legit, and there's not one guy I'm going to trust. I'm going to play Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if there's a point of somebody I'd play over him. Like, I can't think. Would you play Cousins over him? You had them both in your team?
No. I mean, I would think about it, but I think it comes down to it. This is what I've always kind of said when I have those kind of decisions, because you know you drafted Aaron Rodgers higher than you drafted Kirk Cousins, obviously. What would you be more pissed at? If you benched Aaron Rodgers and have him get 40 points, or would you be more pissed if you started Aaron Rodgers and have him get 12 points? I think I'd be more pissed if I benched him and he gets 40 points. That's why I start my studs and not be playing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I said, you can't bench him, but I'd still be a little bit nervous. I wouldn't go in there feeling really comfortable.
Agreed. All right. The Browns and the Saints. The Browns with their best start in since 2004 with a tie. It's pretty sad to say that. Going to New Orleans, who are sort of licking their wounds there after that Bucs game. They got lit up. Any chance the Saints defense bounces back, and can the Browns do anything with this offense they've got?
I feel bad for Browns fans right now. They all left that game seeing those sealed cases of Bud Light for free beer. They're so skid for the win. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I remember you brought that up last podcast that, you know, if they get a win, that these sealed cases get opened up, and
they were so close. But I think the Saints are going to throttle them. So that means I'm going to play the Browns receivers. Landry would look fantastic. He's everything they want him to be. They actually, I forgot who was it. Does the reception perception?
Oh, I know you're talking about
Matt Harmon.
Yep, there you go.
He put up the reception perception for Landry and Antonio Brown to show like how he was used last week in their new system, and it was pretty close to identical.
Wow.
Not saying he's Antonio Brown by any means, but the way they use them is so similar. I'll find it and post it on Twitter later. But I think he's a must play. I'm still wavering on Josh Gordon a little bit, but they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, trying to keep up with New Orleans. And their guys are just monsters.
Agreed.
Going to do the same thing we saw this week. Maybe not 40 points, but he'll be a beast. Same with Michael Thomas.
Yeah, agreed. I think that on the Brown side with Josh Gordon, if you didn't watch this game, you know, and you just went on what the news was pregame, Josh Gordon actually did start this game, even though they said that he wasn't going to start. And then he also played 78% of the snaps, so they didn't limit him to the 20 snaps they said he was going to limit to. But he only had 3 targets, so he's on the field for the majority of the game. Only 3 targets makes me a little bit nervous to start Josh Gordon this week. I do think they want to get him more involved. It's probably a chemistry issue because he missed all of the camp, basically. So he's more of a, if you're playing DFS, a high upside sort of flyer. But if I'm playing in a league, a season-long league, and I can afford to start somebody else, I am. On the Saints side, I mean, you're starting everybody, I think. I think Kamara is definitely viable. Drew Brees is viable. Mike Thomas. I know I had a call last week on my DFS show on Friday that I wanted Tre'Quan Smith to do something. Unfortunately, he didn't get the start. I think some guy I'd never even heard of got the start in a slot. Apparently, Tre'Quan Smith is the immediate backup to Ted Ginn. So as long as Ted Ginn is doing what he did this past week, Tre'Quan Smith may not see the field. I love Tre'Quan Smith. I hope he can get on the field. But, you know, this week I don't think I'm going to be plugging him in any of my lines for sure. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a game that's just not going to be close. I think the Saints blow him out. And the only thing you're worried about here is if in the fourth quarter it's a blowout, Breeze and Kamara and Mike Thomas are all sitting on the bench.
Yeah. All right, we're on to the 4 o'clock games now. We're going to start with your boys. How about the Lions and 49ers? Do you guys have a back or a bounce back game?
I think we do have a bounce back game here with the Lions coming into our house. We've always been a better team at home than we are on the road. And honestly, I watched that Vikings game, and yes, we played pretty badly, but we could have been so much better off. I think Alfred Morris fumbled on the 1 yard line. He gets that touchdown. It's a different story. Pierre Garçon dropped a touchdown. He catches that. It's a different story. George Kittle almost caught that long bomb pass that would have been a touchdown as well. That changes the game. Unfortunately, those plays all went in favor of the Vikings, so this game became very ugly and very one-sided. But I think we do have a bounce-back game. I do think Breida gets used a little bit more. I think he was more effective overall than Alfred Morris was. But still a share, sharing carries there. I want no part of either one of those guys. On the Lions side of things, that defense looked terrible against the Jets. So if you own the Lions defense, I'm hesitant to play them. On the offensive side of the ball, other than Stafford, they actually had pretty good games as far as the receivers go. Galladay was good. I think I would be okay starting Galladay this week if I had to. He looked really good. Tate, he's getting the volume. You got to start Tate. And then out of that backfield, I think I'm starting nobody in that backfield. I think Kerryon Johnson, of course, the rookie there, he only had, I think, 6 carries. LeGarrette Blount did hurt his knee. If he misses his game, maybe Johnson sees some more touches. He actually looked like the better back. For some reason, they kept giving the ball to Blount anyway. And then I think the leading person in touches was Theo Riddick, who I think he had like 35 total yards. So he obviously didn't light it up either. But I think if I had to start one of those guys, it's still going to be Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, Theo Riddick's going to be – he's that guy you start later in the season. You have like everybody on bye. George Kittle's absolute stud, though, for 49ers. He's what stood out the most for me to that. I have a lot of shares. He looked great. He could be that guy, I think, make the next jump into that right behind the top tier.
I agree. I think, and he's a lot faster than I thought he was. When I was watching him, in this game, I was like, man, this guy can really move. And that, like I said, that one catch was just one thing. And granted, it would have been a pretty crazy good catch. I mean, it was like over his head. He could barely see the ball. But if he catches that, he has a whole different fantasy game. I think he still was pretty good in fantasy, but he catches that, it's going to be, he's a top tight end for sure.
I mean, he had 90 yards, right? He did really well there.
Yep, definitely. And he was getting peppered with targets the whole game.
And we thought about his athleticism. I just looked his percentile for tight ends. He ran a 4.52, so he was moving for somebody that big.
Yes, definitely. And then, of course, Marquise Goodwin, he's questionable with a thigh bruise. I think it's probably more towards probable, but they don't do probable designations anymore in the NFL. So I think he plays. I think he has a bounce-back game. I don't think he's going to be, a top receiver this week, but I think he does play. So if you have him in your lineups, you can go ahead and start him with confidence.
Next game we got are the Cardinals and the Rams.
DJ didn't look so good in week one. Redskins kind of shut him down a little bit. And in this game, the Rams are a better defense. I'd be a little bit worried about that. I do think they find a way to give him the ball, though. I think he gets the volume. Obviously, if you have him, you're starting him. There's no way you're putting him on your bench. But I will be a little bit nervous with him in my lineup. Receivers for the Cardinals, the only one I want to start is Fitzgerald. Both Chad Williams and Christian Kirk. Yeah, neither one of those did well. I think they had one catch between them. So I don't want no part of any pass catchers unless they're Larry Fitzgerald. And quarterback, same thing. I'm not starting anybody there for the Cardinals. On the Rams side, it's pretty much usual suspects. Todd Gurley, you're probably starting Goff if you got him. You're starting, I can't think of his name right now. It's Brian Blank. The receiver.
Oh, you're talking about Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, thank you. I kept wanting to say Sammy Watkins, and it was messing me up in my head. You're probably starting Brandon Cooks. You might be starting Kupp and Robert Woods as well, but those guys are a little bit lower on the totem pole. But, yeah, I think it's usual suspects. You're starting those guys if you own them.
Dude, they spread it out so well. Their targets went Cooks 8, Woods 9, Kupp 9.
Yep.
So I don't think they're ever going to have one game where a guy's going to get a ton of looks, but those kind of numbers are worth starting for all of them.
Yep.
And Cooks decent in the red zone. Cooks can break any play, and so can Woods. So I think they're all good fantasy reliable options. None are worse than flex.
Definitely. I think Cooks actually drew two long pass interferences in this game too, in the game against the Raiders. If he had caught those passes, his day would have been humongous.
Yeah, I love Brandon Cooks.
All right, Patriots and Jags. This is sort of a rematch of last year's playoff game. Patriots, Gronkowski was a beast last week. I think he led the team in every category possible. And then the Jags, kind of struggled a little bit. I think they ended up winning that game, but it wasn't pretty. What do you see about this game here?
Fantasy-wise, I like Yeldon. And like for the Patriots, it's so hard because I know Brady's going to beat Tom Brady. I know he's not going to get shut out. But if you look at the matchups, who's he going to be thrown it to? Gronk. Other than Gronk, I mean, Hogan's going to is probably going to have Ramsey on him. Dorsett's going to have Bouye on him, who's just as good. So I just don't see that. I can't start any of them in fantasy, but I know I'm going to be starting Brady, and I know Brady will put up numbers, and probably James White will get a ton of targets again. So I'd start him in the flex, and then the Jags, probably Yeldon. I might take a flyer on Bortles.
Okay. What about Keelan Cole or D.D. Westbrook?
I still don't trust any of the receivers.
Agree.
It's too up in the air with them still.
Yeah, I think honestly, if I'm starting one, I want D.D. Westbrook just for the big playability. I think that, you know, he got a good amount of targets in this game. I think Keelan Cole led him in targets, but I think D.D. Westbrook was right behind him, and he has more big playability, I think, than Keelan Cole does. So if I have to start one, I'm starting D.D. Westbrook. On the Patriots side, yeah, obviously you're starting Brady, you're starting Gronk. Receiver, I was high on Hogan coming in. I think Hogan will still be fine in this game. I don't think he's going to be otherworldly, but I think he'll be better than he was last week. But you're right, he will have Ramsey on him, so that limits him a little bit. But I think they'll find a way to give him the ball. James White is definitely a good play. Everyone came into last week thinking it'll be Burkhead. It ended up being James White with a bigger game. So I think James White will continue that role. And then I'm interested to see if they use Sonny Michel at all. I think that he's been practicing. They think he might play this week. I don't know if that Belichick will give him the start or not, but I think that he could definitely see a few snaps in this game. I'd be kind of curious to see what he does.
Yeah, I actually want to do this as a research thing, just thinking of it. I want to see James White's touches in close games. I feel like anytime the Patriots are in a battle or a game where it matters the most, that's who they have in.
Yep, they trust him. That's why. I think they've had him there for a while. Bill trusts him. And that's, yeah, I think that's who they go with when they need that. The next one we got here is the Raiders at the Broncos. It's the last of the 4 o'clock games. Raiders have a bounce back game here, or you think that Broncos defense shuts them down?
I think the Broncos defense actually shuts them down. I mean, is it too early to say the Raiders suck?
No.
Like, they're going to be competing with the Bills for the worst team in the league. They don't have anything, and they have a $100 million catch. I don't know. But I don't trust Cooper this week at all. He'll have Chris Harris on him. And then Broncos, I'll gladly start Case Keenum in a pinch. And Emmanuel Sanders looked absolutely ridiculous this week. I kind of didn't expect that one at all. I thought his touches would go down a little bit with new additions, but he killed it. I think Demaryius Thomas will be all right too. So I think Denver will be okay. I'm keeping an eye on the running back situation. I'm starting Royce Freeman because I have to, but I'm not going to feel good about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I actually have Royce Freeman in the league where I don't have to start him, thankfully. So if you have that option, don't start him. I'm not starting him this week. I think it's going to be a little bit of a committee there, and it makes me nervous because he had as many carries as Lindsey did, so that makes me a little bit nervous. On the Raiders side, I think if you're picking up Jared Cook, you're probably starting him because you probably lost your tight end this week, so he's going to be the only one, I think, viable for the Raiders. And you're right. They're the oldest team in the league. They're getting ready to re-sign Martavis Bryant. I mean, that tells you how desperate they are because they have, like, nobody with speed on that team. So it's a mess right now, and I feel bad for the Raiders, but they're in a rebuilding process. And this was kind of the plan, I think. I think it was just to start fresh, clean everybody out, be terrible for a while, get some first-round picks, and be good to go.
How are you going to rebuild and have the oldest team in the league? Like, you should have a young team.
I think what they were trying to do with this, I think Gruden wanted some guys so that they can sort of compete as he sort of stacked draft picks for the future. But they're not being able to compete. I mean, Derek Carr looked terrible this past week, and you know, he looked terrible last year. So maybe terrible is his sort of forte. Maybe the guy we saw in his rookie season isn't the right guy.
Yeah, and then Marshawn had one great run. Everyone thought he was back, and then he just faded off into oblivion.
Yep.
Next game we got on the slate is division rivals, Giants at Cowboys.
Giants at Cowboys. Of course, this is going to feature Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley. Obviously, starting both of those guys. I think both of them. I think Saquon Barkley showed what he can do with that 66-yard run or whatever it was. I think Ezekiel Elliott has a bounce-back game. I put his stat up on Twitter today. Like, Ezekiel Elliott, I think, has the fifth most fantasy points in primetime games over the last 3 years. So you're starting Ezekiel Elliott, obviously. On the other side, with the receivers, obviously Odell Beckham starting. Evan Ingram, I think you're still starting him. He had a pretty awful game last week, but it wasn't his fault. It was more Eli Manning's fault. He did have one catch that was called back on a penalty. But I think you're still starting Evan Ingram. I think we saw what he can do last year. Don't give up on him quite yet. And then with the Cowboys, I think it's pretty much Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if I want anybody else for the Cowboys on my team at all.
No, I agree with the Cowboys take. The one thing with Barkley that kind of stood out, all these players always been getting – every, like, fast running back gets these comparisons to Jamal Charles. And it's never been with Barkley because he's a bigger guy like that. But he has that frustrating running style where he's going to get stuff, and then breaks that 68-yard play like he did. I think that's going to be the status quo for him. I think he's going to perform, be great, but I don't think it's going to be consistently plodding around. Like, you're going to see some of the other, like, top-tier backs.
Agreed.
Like he would a Zeke. And then Odell Beckham's just unworldly. He's fully back from that injury. He put the bricks on Jalen Ramsey. I went and rewatched every catch he had just to see if it wasn't Ramsey on him. But no, he was beating the best corner in the league. I think he'll be the top. It's previewed our rankings. He's going to be my top receiver this week.
Oh, wow. Big stuff there. All right. The Monday night game doesn't look so appealing right now, I don't think, with the Seahawks at the Bears. It's not really – I think they probably thought this would be a top billing game, but the Bears didn't look so good last week. They looked good in the first half. Then they went, like, ultra-conservative. And the Seahawks, as we mentioned earlier, they're pretty terrible. They got the win last week, but it wasn't pretty. What do you see in this game?
We talked about Seahawks receivers already, so I don't really want to bring up that dumpster fire again. But Chris Carson looked good. They didn't give him enough carries, but he looked really good when he did. And Pete Carroll went and said this week that he definitely played like the lead back after watching the film, and he's going to get him more involved. So I'm actually kind of excited about him there. And I think Chicago's going to be all right this week. They'll probably put up some serious amount of points in Seattle. Adam Robinson got targets, so he should be good. I'm very curious about Trey Burton because he got thrown at a lot of times and did nothing with it. So either it's not what we expected out of him or something's missing. Do you see that they had the picture of he just missed them?
Sorry, you cut off. What'd you say?
There was a picture going around, like a frozen game film of Burton wide open in the end zone, like no one within 10 yards of him either side. And right in front of Trubisky, and he threw it, or he threw an incomplete pass elsewhere. It was so ugly.
That's terrible.
He might hold that team back a little bit more than we thought.
Yeah. I think that they, like I said, they went ultra conservative. Trubisky was afraid to throw the ball down the field. I think he had that one play in the first quarter to Allen Robinson. It was a great catch, good throw. And then that was the longest pass play that they had all game. And after that, it was like dink and dunk, dink and dunk. I mean, Jordan Howard had a bunch of receptions as a quote-unquote non-catching running back. They just dropped it off to the underneath guys all game long, and the Packers just basically didn't play deep. They just kind of watched the front four.
Yeah, I still like Jordan Howard, too. I mean, regardless, every week is someone I can start, especially if he's catching balls like he did this week.
What do you think of the lack of usage of Tarik Cohen? I mean, he had a couple drives there, but he wasn't really used as much as he was in the past.
I'm not starting him until I see otherwise, because, I mean, they said they're going to use him like Tyreek Hill, which we saw what Tyreek Hill is, and he's not that. But I'm a little more hesitant than I was a month ago about Tarik Cohen.
Yep. And then, of course, the rookie there, you know, everyone was kind of high on Anthony Miller, but the number two receiver was Taylor Gabriel, and he actually looked really good. Had a couple of nice plays there. Any chance you're starting him in the deep league?
No, I did have a lot of them in best ball, but I probably won't start him. Maybe in our 16-team league, I would. But anything short of that, I wouldn't. But, I mean, Anthony Miller just shows that you don't start rookie receivers.
Yep.
Especially early. Other than the year Odell Beckham and Mike Evans and them came out, rookie receivers haven't done anything other than Mari Cooper.
Yep, agreed. I think that even before those guys came out, it was always a 3-year curve for receivers. You wouldn't see them. I mean, even Antonio Brown wasn't good his first year.
So he wasn't good until like 4 years in. He didn't start.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, this expectation that you're going to get a DJ Moore or a Michael Gallup and just plug and play, it's just not the case. I think that they take a little bit to learn. A lot of offense that needed to learn, a lot of different route trees and different kind of things, reading the defenses that they just don't learn until they get to second or third year.
Yeah, none of the rookie receivers did anything this week, and it's not surprising.
Yep.
And they always go way too high in redraft.
Yep, agreed. Everybody gets all excited about those guys because they're like the hot commodity, but then they come out like, I mean, DJ Moore was probably the highest drafted one, and he, I think he had zero targets. So that just goes to show you, don't trust rookie receivers.
Right, and everyone acts like that was a bad receiving core, and he would dominate touches.
Yep,
and he didn't.
Nope, not at all. All right, man, that wrapped up all the games for week two. I would like to try to get you on one of the days on my Friday podcast for a short segment, just so we can kind of recap some of the injuries that, you know, because it's kind of hard to do this on a Tuesday. We still got you know, quite a few days. So maybe we can kind of squeeze you in on Friday. Now, this Friday might be a little bit difficult because the East Coast has got a hurricane coming right at us. So,
yeah.
And it's supposed to hit right at Friday when my other podcast is. So I don't know if I do a podcast this week or not, depending on where that hurricane ends up. But, yeah, I think if we can try to get you on, even for just a short segment, to sort of recap some of the bigger injuries and things that we'll know more of on Friday.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. We'll definitely put that in place.
Good deal. All right, man. Well, tell everybody where they can follow you at.
You can find me at Twitter at Ryan Sirifoss at FantasyFBConnect. You can find me at Fantasy Football Connect on Facebook, which some people are probably watching on there now. We're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff there, adding weekly segments for Start Sit, Waiver Wire, stuff like that. We're doing a one guy's doing a live stream on Sunday before games.
Yes, I meant to plug that earlier. Yeah, we're doing a Hamid is actually a new admin in the group, and I think he's going to be doing a live. He'll be doing a feed on Thursday, a smaller one on Thursday for Start Sit, and then he'll do one on Sunday morning before the games for a sit start as well. So definitely check that out in the Fantasy Football Connect Facebook page.
Awesome. And I said, I'm doing waiver wires here for goingfor2.com, and I'm doing a weekly streaming article for quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses for Dominate Fantasy Football as well.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. I'm pretty much everywhere on Facebook. You know, you can find me on the Fantasy Football Connect page. You can find me in the Year Round Fantasy Discussion page. Of course, on the goingfor2.com page. Pretty much everywhere. But definitely want to get you on Friday, Ryan. And until then, have a good night.
All right, you too.